D. Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, another rough game for the Tennessee Titans. Cam Ward, statistically, had a decent showing, but of course, that was overshadowed by a couple more turnovers, including another lost fumble. When you evaluate Cam Ward and the things that aren't working well for him right now, how correctable do you think those issues are?
You know, Adam, I think they are largely correctable, because the two biggest reasons that he's struggling right now are, number one, the team around him. They're just not very good. The receivers are not very dynamic. They're not getting a whole lot done. They're not making a lot of yards after the catch. They're not creating a lot of separation. And so I think that upgrading the receiver core will do wonders for Cam. Now, the other problem is that Cam is trying to win all these games. And I understand he's a professional athlete. His job as a quarterback is to do whatever it takes to help his team win. But right now, as a rookie, that actually hurts his team ability to win. And I think you take the fumble that slipped out of his hand early in the third quarter that ended up being a scoop and score for the Patriots is a great example of that. I mean, they had a play-action pass. It was a good call. Jim DK, the wide receiver, was supposed to block Chase on, the pass rusher, who it's a mismatch for the Patriots there. But all DK's supposed to do is get in front of that guy and slow him down enough. And then it looked like DK was supposed to leak out. Not sure, because DK got beat immediately, just immediately. It was just abysmal. And so here comes Chase on running directly at Cam. Cam goes to try to throw the ball as he's backpedaling. Ball slips out of his hand, turns into a fumble. Chase on recovers for a touchdown. Well, what should Cam have done there? Okay, not his fault that there was a pass rusher in his face immediately, right? But he needs to know what to do if that happens. If that happens, don't try to make a play anyway. If that happens, don't make a bad play worse by trying to salvage it and turn it around. You know, and this is what Cam, I think, can do to help himself and to help the team to a large degree, because he needs to get away from this idea of he's got to go out there and make wins happen. Instead, what he's got to do is go out there and make each individual play work the way that the play caller designed it, and then let the score take care of itself. So, for example, regardless of what the score is, drop back, look around, make the right decision, throw it to the right receiver on time, accurately, and if that's enough, great. And if it's not enough, fine. Because all he's going to do at this point in his career with the team that's around him right now is try to do too much, develop bad habits himself that he will have to unlearn down the road, and actually contribute to losses, not contribute to wins. So ironically, the best thing that Cam Ward can do to maximize his rookie season is to forget about the scoreboard, forget about winning on this particular play call. What does the defense give me? What is my read? And that's exactly what I'm going to take. And if he does that, ironically, that will turn into wins down the road.
Trevor, after the game on Sunday, Kayshawn Booty, who caught a long touchdown pass from Drake May, called the secondary play of the Tennessee Titans lazy. This is not the first time this season that a Titans opponent has questioned the commitment level of the Titans. You may recall when the Colts played the Titans the first time this season, they're about to play again, Michael Pittman had a quote after the game, paraphrasing here, "Yeah, we looked at them during pregame warmups. They weren't really bouncing around a lot. They looked like they didn't want to be there." How concerned are you that the Tennessee Titans have a commitment problem?
Willie, that's a great question, because the fruit is on the tree, isn't it? You could say, yes, they're playing with the vitality and the effort that they can possibly muster, and they can't do anymore, and then if they're not good enough, they're not good enough. But you don't seem to see that. And it's very rare that you see NFL opponents make statements like that, because what they're saying when they call a team either lazy or uncommitted is something that they would never want to be said about them. They know what the ramifications will be to the team that they just did that to. And the Patriots just stomped the Titans. There was no reason to pile on. And yet Bucci decided that he would go ahead and offer that. Now, is he right? Well, the fruit's on the tree, for goodness sake. The Titans were not really able to stop the Patriots for the most part. They had some good stretches, and I get it that Jeff Simmons went out in the first half with injury, and Snead went out in the third quarter, I believe, with injury. And so I understand that part. But so does Bucci. And for him to say that to me is a horrific existential slam, not just to those players, but to their coaches too. Because now everybody's going to look at them as if, you know what, maybe they're not trying very hard. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't really want to win. Maybe they're just in it for the money. Players and coaches who are supposed to get the most out of the players, and then they have to overcome that stigma. That's a hard thing to do, and it's an awful thing to do if you're an opponent. Yet Bucci and then Pittman for the Colts decided to do the same thing, and it's really bad that the Titans can't turn around and say, that's ridiculous. You can see the fruit on the tree. You can see the effort, and you can see that we're just not quite good enough yet. But you can see us playing hard. That's what the Titans have to be able to say, and I don't know that you can actually look at the tape and say that.
Well, you're right, Trevor, because not only do you have, basically someone, one of your peers coming out and say, hey, listen, that was just lazy football. You had it that week. You had it 2 weeks ago. But then, as a matter of fact, you had an anonymous source from the Oakland Raiders saying, that's just a bad team, man. I've never seen a team that bad.
Trevor, if you missed it, Michael Silver of The Athletic did a story. He actually came to Nashville to do the reporting before the Titans fired Brian Callahan. But he talked to an anonymous Raiders coach who said that the Titans were the worst team he has seen in the past 25 years.
So you have that. Yeah. You have, players right after you play in interviews saying, yeah, that was just lazy football, or those guys didn't seem like they wanted to play. To me, that's an indictment. If I'm Denard Wilson, man, I'm watching that tape, and I'm throwing something at the chalkboard, because that's, like you said, that's the last thing. That's not an indictment on the players. You could take it, but it's an indictment on the coaches, because you coach what you allow. And it seems like everyone is saying about this team or this defense, guys weren't ready to go. They're lazy. And that shouldn't be the case. But that wasn't my question. When I look at the New England Patriots and the Titans, I think New England is a better team, but I don't think they're 20 points better than the Titans. When you are a bad team, which the Titans are, you can't have four plays that pretty much doom you. What I'm talking about is the two missed assignments on the long touchdowns. I am talking about the Cam Ward fumble and then the kick out of bounds that ended up with them scoring one of those touchdowns in Snead's area. So when you look at this team, do you look at it from that standpoint? Because, yes, they're a bad team, but even bad teams can win games if they do what's right.
Yeah, it depends on why they're bad. Mm-hmm. If they're bad because their talent isn't good enough, or at least in certain key areas, they have to upgrade the talent because they're just going to get beat man-to-man, and whether it's a blocker or whether it's a defensive lineman trying to hold his gap or whatever it might be. And you understand that. And really, I never get mad at teams like that, because you know what? Unless you're the very best in the league at what you do and you play at 100% of capability every single time, then you're going to get beat. Sorry. You're going to face somebody better than you, and you're going to get beat from time to time. And so that just happens. So I understand that part. And so as I look at the Titans, as I look at any NFL team or player, I look at it from that perspective. Is each player getting the most out of what he can do against that opponent over there? And if he is, and then he gets beat, it's like, okay, well, that's the best he could do. At least I can see him fighting. You know, show me the fight, and then everything is good. And the thing about the Titans is that they too often, they're not in the right place doing the right thing, which would force the opponent to beat them to make a play. Too often, there's no Titan around. You know, you talked about those long touchdown passes. You know, you talk about DK not putting any kind of a speed bump at all in front of Chase on, so he ended up right in Cam Ward's face right off the bat. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, these are things that you should force it to be harder on your opponent to beat you and make you look bad, right? And this is what I worry about with the Titans. This may be the worst team in the last 25 years, but I don't see any way this is the least talented team in the last 25 years. I don't see that at all. Now, go back to a couple of years ago when I kind of made a stink when I was watching Treylon Burks, former Titans wide receiver, in practice during the offseason, in my opinion, being very lackadaisical with how he handled the ball. Not that he wasn't running full speed all the time. You don't do that in practice all the time. But when you're a receiver and that ball comes in, you've got to treat it like the Super Bowl every time, or you're going to train yourself to be lackadaisical from time to time with the ball. And that's not a good thing. And, Derek, you might disagree with me because you played that position and I didn't. But I'm extrapolating what I did as an offensive lineman when we were going walk through and half through with our technique and stuff like that. And everybody got mad at me because, you know, hey, it's just a walk through. Well, you know, not a walk through, but it wasn't a full speed drill. The thing is, in practice, if you practice without having the precision and the urgency of focus that this rep that the Super Bowl will depend on, whether it's a full-speed rep or a walkthrough rep, still, your technique, your footwork, where your hands are, all those things need to be urgently focused, no matter whatever speed you're going, or else you're training yourself to fail because, like the Marines say, you know, it's not, you know, when everything starts to go south, you don't perform to the level of your desire. You degrade your performance to the level of your training. That's why they train at the highest level, always. That's why, as a long snapper, for goodness sake, once in a while the holder and the kicker would want me to give them some bad snaps so they could practice bad snap drill. What would happen if the snap is bad? Well, you know, will the holder be able to get it down? Will the kicker be able to hesitate and then kick? All the things. And I always told them, get somebody else to do that. I know it's important, but I am never once ever going to give you anything other than my very best. Ever. Because otherwise I'm training the wrong thing. So go back to these Titans. How often do you see a Titans player either be in the wrong spot or be in the right spot doing the wrong technique without enough effort, and it makes it easy for the opponent? That's why they are what they are, and that's why opponents are saying what they're saying.
Trevor Maddux is with us. Trevor, I'm curious, as you look ahead for Vanderbilt now after the good win against LSU, how much different, what will be the key matchups as Missouri comes to town? Because looking at this game, it is like you're fighting to stay in the playoff race with all of these games that Vanderbilt's got left, and Missouri is bringing a lot to the table. So what about the matchup in your mind?
There's two things. One is that Vanderbilt's superpower is extending drives. They're one of the best in the country at third down conversion rate. A big part of that is Diego Pavia, a quarterback who's able to make plays when there aren't plays to be there, to stay even with the chains, and then to convert third and fourth down. It's just fantastic what he's done. They've got to continue to do that because this is a very good defense that they'll be facing. But the other thing is, we're going to learn an awful lot about how physical Vanderbilt's defense really is. They have shown themselves to be competitive at the SEC level, at the line of scrimmage on defense and on offense, by the way, but talking defense now. And they've been very good, but the most physical team that Vanderbilt has faced was Alabama. Alabama's lead running back, Jam Miller, averaged over 6 yards per carry against them. Well, here comes Hardy, one of the best running backs in the country for Missouri, and they're going to challenge Vandy. So we're about to find out now if Vanderbilt's defense really is ready for prime time or if they still have work to do.
Let's shift the focus. Your thoughts on where Tennessee can go from here. After losing to Alabama, Tennessee's schedule isn't going to maybe blow people away. Chances to get a lot of those sexy wins. So it doesn't seem like there's room for another loss. Do they still have a pathway to get to the playoffs?
You know, I think they do. Right now they've got two losses, and that's critical. I mean, you look at two things. One is that defensively they're really good at getting after the quarterback. They're one of the best in the SEC at pressuring the quarterback, and that's important. And then their offense isn't just Joey Aguilar and the passing attack, they're also very balanced. Their rushing attack overall is very good. So they've got the chops. I mean, we can talk about the math, but they've got the chops to be able to get through it. Now, that game against Oklahoma at home is going to be tough. And then, of course, they got Vandy at home to finish the season. And so, you know, it's not going to be easy. But right now, the two losses that they have against Georgia and Alabama, the committee won't hate. And if they're able to pick up a win over Oklahoma and Vandy and finish 10-2, I don't think there's any way you can keep Tennessee out of the playoff.
Do you think it could fall to where a three-loss team with a really difficult schedule could get into the discussion for the last spot in the playoff?
You know, I think that's possible because there are some teams whose schedules are absolutely ridiculous. You know, and I mean, you can talk about Notre Dame. They lost a couple of top 10 teams in Miami and Texas A&M to open the season. But, you know, they've got those two losses. I don't know that they can afford to lose to anybody else on the schedule without the committee hating that loss. I think you're looking at a team like Oklahoma, for example, who lost to Texas with a quarterback who came back too early, Oklahoma's did, from hand surgery. And they still have, so that's one loss for Oklahoma. But they still have Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU. Now, they could lose two of those, win three of them, and be that team that you said, Willie, that could be a three-loss team that gets in anyway because of the quality of the wins that they did get.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingen and Donick. He is brought to you each week by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Sam.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Trevor had to say and more. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingen and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.